All right, before we get started, let's do some business real quick. As usual, we ask you to do a couple things. First, head over to the Facebook page, like the page, share the page, comment on the page, you know, that sort of stuff. Then head on over to Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
@comesnaturalpod.
Boom. And you can follow us on there. You can tweet at us. We may tweet back. Everyone shakes their head no.
I'm pretty sure I've been banned from any using any of the social media stuff.
We'll say banned's a good way. Then head over to iTunes, where you can subscribe to the podcast, which gets you the show every week for free, automatically down on your phone or iPad or whatever you want to put it on. And then you can rate the page. You can write a review, hopefully a good one. And yeah, that's it for the business. We'll start this off properly. Comes naturally, we are
Joe.
Taj. And Cody. Yes, right.
I am so happy to be back.
Taj is stepping in for the day while Michael is off making the monies. Or pulling weeds or whatever,
whatever
shit he's not doing.
He's not
here.
He's not here, yeah.
Quote unquote pulls weeds.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, that shit's not productive.
Yeah. So, welcome, Taj.
Thanks.
We will skip over the Mike's wrestling minute because A, Mike's not here, and B, none of us prepared.
None.
And head over to some science.
Yeah.
With Joseph.
Yeah.
B. Worrell.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's your middle and last name.
I don't think so.
Yep. B. B. Not initial. B.
Oh,
middle name. B-E. B-E.
Just B-E.
Yep.
Oh, B-E.
Yep.
Oh,
no second
E. No, he's
like
B.
Yep, B.
What, so am
B.
I, what am I, Mike?
Yeah.
J.
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 A-Y.
Yep.
Yep.
Nice.
What did I say your middle name was through the text? Valerie? Right?
Yeah, it was
Joseph
something...
Valerie DeCaria. That
yeah.
shit was hilarious.
That's perfect.
It made me laugh, but...
I thought it was funny, because I always...
Wanted a girl's middle name, first name as your middle name?
No, because I have a Ninja Turtles middle name as my
you,
last.
You do.
Sort of.
Sort of, yeah.
Kind of.
It's missing a letter, like yeah. a single letter.
It's all right, it doesn't matter.
Perfect.
B.
Science.
Go.
Go.
Science. Do it.
So...
That was a dramatic pause.
It was a very like
pause for effect. You know,
like yeah. a very long inhale that just
I know I was,
gonna
get
was going nowhere.
Wait, I did.
Yeah. You
did. Oh, gross. Good thing that's padded and solid metal underneath.
So under construction right now is the European Extremely Large Telescope. This will actually be
is that
the
name of it?
Yes, that is actually the name of it.
They couldn't think of a better name than
well,
extremely
first off,
large.
They're first off the European. So they always name things in, like, the most literal ways.
It's true.
Roundabout.
It's literally a roundabout.
Yeah. There's other ones. I just can't think of them right now. Anyway, to go along with, so it's the this is being constructed by the European Southern Observatory, or the ESO. Some other.
SO.
Sheriff's Office?
SO.
Sorry.
Whatever.
Is it too black?
So this will be the largest of.
Flint, calm down. Sorry, go ahead.
Jesus. So other telescopes that they've built in the past include the Atacama Large Millimeter Array. The
large millimeter, isn't that just a millimeter?
No, it's a large millimeter. No,
it's
small
just
millimeter.
It's pushing against those little lines. It's like almost more than a
almost,
millimeter. It's
yeah.
like a large one.
It's a large
so
millimeter.
Close.
They also built the Very Large Telescope, or the VLT, as they call it.
Sounds like something you get at Jack in the Box.
This telescope is actually built to complement the GMT, which is the Giant Magellan Telescope.
Uh-huh. Jesus Christ. Those are the worst fucking names.
It's hilarious, to actually, to read through this.
You got a sense of humor.
It is the...
they're very uninventive.
To keep going, it's yep. the successor to the OWL, or the Overwhelmingly Large Telescope.
All right, so...
They actually didn't finish that one though because it was going to cost like 1.5 billion euros.
The cost was overwhelming.
The cost was overwhelming for them. So instead, they went ahead and started construction on this large one. Yeah. It's due to be completed in 2024.
What the fuck?
It's right around the corner. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
2024 or...
I said they started construction.
Like, what? That's ridiculous.
It's much less overwhelming.
Yeah.
It'll be
that thing better be extremely large.
It'll be the largest optical/infrared telescope in the world once it's complete.
I fucking hope so. I kind of hope someone can design one bigger and get it finished right after that one's finished. They're like, oh, no, we'll wait.
And not just bigger by a lot, but just by a scotch.
Yeah, just like a no longer the largest.
And they'll call it the scotch larger.
No, I'm waiting for like the Titanic large telescope.
Titanically large?
Titanically large.
It's only made look at icebergs?
Uh-huh. That'd be awful. So awful.
On our planet?
So the mirror itself is not like one giant mirror.
It's an array.
It's an array of mirrors, which will consist of 798 of them. 798.
You couldn't even get to 800. They're like,
what?
Fuck!
That was fucking cool.
Next one, the Scotch one's going to have 801.
But this thing is so large and that it'll have sensors on the edge of the array that'll be able to adjust the focus of each individual mirror based off of wind or temperature changes or movement of the telescope.
The Scotch one needs to get started now, then.
Yeah, Scotch
seems like a lot of work.
It
may not be better than the
if you're out there and you're listening to this show, Scotch needs to be in production ASAP.
Yeah, like, needs mm-hmm. to.
And if you are that kind of person that could make that happen, come see us because we could use some money too.
Yep.
So the EELT is actually a 5-mirror system, along with the enormous primary mirror, the secondary mirror, and the secondary mirror. There are 3 other mirrors, an unusual aspect of the EELT's design is its tertiary mirror. This tertiary mirror will give the EELT better image quality over a large field of view than a primary and secondary mirror can. So essentially what this means is that when you have like 2 objects closer together, you'll be able to distinguish both of them.
Question.
Go.
Does it say what they're using to record images off that beast?
Dr.
We'll skip the name.
He's one of the ESO scientists. This will allow the EELT image to image exoplanets nearer to the star they are orbiting. We aim to probe planets in the so-called habitable zone. So, as such, the new seven planets that were found.
Planetoids,
yeah. Where liquid water could exist on their surfaces, and take spectra to analyze the composition of their atmosphere. So, if we know the composition of their atmospheres, we can get a general good idea of what.
Livable.
Yeah, is it livable? Does it have water? Is it like just mostly hydrogen? You know, does it rain sulfuric acid? Fucking.
Is it just methane?
Yeah.
Fart planet.
Fart planet. It's just a planet of farts.
Planet fart.
All old farts.
Well, there's just like every little fart given out just slowly makes its way there and the planet's uh-huh. getting slowly bigger.
Just
collects
it.
Yep, it's like all Earth farts.
The final story that I have for today.
Ooh.
And actually thinking about it, Cody, you could actually go over the other one that you posted earlier. I didn't really get a chance to read that one.
Which one I posted earlier?
The Templar.
That one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you want to cue that up?
Attention.
Right?
I talk too much.
You really do talk too much. So a team of scientists just mapped over 4,000 square miles of seafloor in the Pacific Remote Islands Marine National Monument.
Seafloor. That's done, right?
That was awful.
No, no, no.
First off, you didn't even map it. You just saw the floor.
I pointed and someone else is going to do it.
That's not how mapping works.
Yeah, pretty sure it is.
Remote Islands Marine National Monument off the Hawaiian Islands in stunning detail. The work aboard the Schmidt Ocean Institute research vessel, Falkor, like the Neverending Story.
What?
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Amen.
Reveals not just geological features, but clues as to where life might be hiding. To build such a detailed image of the seafloor under those
huge gigantic falcor ears.
That'd be actually hilarious if this I don't have a picture of the ship, but it has like the Dumb and Dumber car.
Oh, the Shaggy Dog.
Shaggy Dog, yeah. It just has Falcor all over the side of it.
The whole thing is like Falcor.
Just sitting in that gross ocean water.
You have to sit like Atreyu does.
Oh.
Right behind the head, just like, yeah! Sorry. I distracted us.
So to build such a detailed image of the sea floor, the team didn't use any old sonar, but something called multi-beam sonar, which fires out...
Wait. More than one beam.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Well done, dude.
Fires out lots of pings in a sort of ribbon of sound. The analogy is to mowing the lawn, says oceanographer and lead scientist John Smith of the University of Hawaii. Such a made-up name, John Smith.
He's a window protection.
That's probably true.
Or the CIA.
That's probably true as well. You're actually collecting over 400 depth points per single ping, so you've got these multiple beams of sound. That means super high-resolution images on the scale of mere meters compared to hundreds of meters with old sonar tech.
Are they large meters?
Of towering, seamounts that could be home to a unique deep-sea life. And some of the imagery...
Which, by the way, is terrifying.
And this is off the wire, off of Wired. The article's name is "Want to Explore the Deep Sea? The Secret is Sound," because they actually have a video on there that shows, like, pretty goddamn fucking detailed.
Oh, Jesus!
All based off of sonar.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. And I watched the video.
Those black areas are just fucking cavernous holes.
Well, they're just where there's just no deeper. Data. There's no data. They don't have data because like you'll see
probably didn't get
if you watch the video, right? You'll see closer inspection of it, and you'll see like little bits of blackness, and that's just where they just don't have data. Like the sonar reflects back up,
and if it does, if it goes this way,
so if if you have no place where you didn't get sonar,
it's black.
Or it's going to be black, but
like what it said, disperses rather than.
But the resolution on this being matter of meters rather than
several meters wide.
Yeah, it is incredible. So like I would love to see them. I would love to see them try and map a deeper part of the ocean if they could with this type of equipment, like the what is it, the Marianas Trench?
Marianas Trench, yeah.
You know, one of the deepest points in the whole entire world.
Yeah,
would be amazing just to see what the fuck is down there, and then see what if this helped with archaeological finds of deep sea stuff or just underwater stuff in general. I mean, look at how much shit they find off the coast of Crete and Italy and
all those weird places where it has like weird, super the deep fucking where just like land goes.
But like they find shit all the time there because the Mediterranean Sea was such a huge
breeding ground for shit.
It was a trade route.
Travel route.
It's true. Yeah.
So they're still finding just all kinds of shit down there. And so if you could actually map that with this type of sonar instead of having to send divers down there.
I wonder how big the rig is. What if it's something they can mount inside something?
It's on a boat.
18 wheels.
I like it. Yeah. 18 wheels. Hard to steer underwater.
Awful.
My wheel keeps spinning. Greg, you're underwater.
His name is Jack.
Jack Burton. Check is in the mail.
Cody?
So mine, it comes from IFL Science, or I Fucking Love Science. One of my favorite websites to go to.
It's a solid name.
It is, yeah, it's fantastic. They do all sorts of crazy shit on this particular site. But the article's name, they're not fancy like Joe's from Wired. Is an enormous cavern containing a Knights Templar church has been found hiding beneath a farmer's field. This is in England. So there's not a whole lot of detail in this because they haven't released a lot, but apparently this particular one is one of many that's been found in the last few years. This one has been untouched by people because it's largely unknown at this at the time, and the only way to get into it was through a rabbit hole.
Oh, so they literally had to go down the rabbit hole.
Literally had to go down the rabbit hole. So
who discovered it, Ellis?
That would have been awesome.
That would have been weird, though.
But awesome.
That would have been awesome. So basically what happened is they sent cameras in, gingerly, of course, noticed what was in it, and then slowly excavated the area to not make it collapse on itself, because
that would fucking happen. It's an old structure. Yep. Yeah.
It's over 1,000 years old. And so they found intact shrines in there. This doesn't say if they found any treasures or anything crazy like that. Are you snapping?
What was that weird angle? Snapping, yeah.
Like, are you getting like a old man angle on there?
I'm
or what?
Blind.
Oh, that makes sense. Because you're like, what the fuck, man? Sorry, I got distracted. I thought we were snapping. I wanted to do my famous pose.
What is that?
I was going to be like,
hold on. Focus.
Down in front.
What's interesting about this one is it's the whole thing's intact. So the whole church is actually visible. So after they excavated it, the video they show on here, which doesn't, I didn't listen to it because I couldn't hear it very well because we were driving at the time.
Yeah.
But it shows they actually lit candles and stuff where they would have been, and it lights up like crazy.
That's
like,
dope.
Obviously some fucking real science went into building this and making it work the way it's supposed to. But it's cool because they actually have statues and things like that where you could see where the banners and things were at. So pretty cool little thing. And this is, here's a better picture of it.
Oh, that's super dope.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can see all the candles they lit in markers where it had candles before, where it had, would have candles before in real, you know, when it was a functional church and it, how much it lights up the room, which is weird to think back. And then they could figure out how to make light bounce inside of a cavern to light it up, you know. Obviously, there's some smart people. Plus, the Templars were some of the smartest people on the planet anyways.
Yep.
Not just complete assholes.
Well, yeah, not just complete assholes. So, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty cool little discovery they have. And there, I guess there's, these all line up in a weird way to lead a path to the motherland.
Really?
Yeah. So like the ones they've found are all, so they're trying to use these to map out where other ones would be. So what they would do, the reason these were underground is they would hide in them.
Makes sense.
So as they're moving sensitive things around, you know, Ark of the Covenant and all, they would.
What's the Ark of the Covenant?
It's a thing from Indiana Jones.
Ah.
They would, they could easily move it, put it, and be underground, reestablish their movements and track it, and then they would go through. And so this led to another article that they got this from, which I don't know where the link went because it was on my phone and things like that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So what they're finding is what would happen is these were being built the other direction, and so they were being built so they could basically different groups could join in and be in one path to lead to where they needed to go and stuff. It's really crazy.
So you're saying it like branched out?
Yeah. So like there's different paths. So
you had the main like set of ones that led to the Holy Land.
And then if they wanted to go somewhere else, they had other ones that would go off further in further directions. Yeah.
How long do you think that shit took?
Dude, the video show this one. It's not like a small little hole. Like this is a big ass fucking like enormous
people
cavern.
High.
I'm sure they started with natural...
Oh, no, this is like horse,
natural,
people on horseback.
Yeah, I'm sure they started with natural caverns and stuff and built on top of that.
Even still, I mean, moving that type of earth, it's going to be fucking a task and a half.
Yeah, especially back then with no machines.
Right.
Rudimentary machines at best, you know?
Yeah, but what else are you doing that back then? Come on.
Trying not to fucking die of some horrific flesh-eating disease.
You're eating. You're trying not to die of some stupid disease.
And hopefully not eating where someone just pooped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Happens all the time, man.
Good. And sleeping.
And fucking.
I was going to say, lots of fucking.
Yeah. Lots of fucking.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
They didn't fuck around. Oh, they actually did fuck around.
But it'd be interesting to see if they follow this line and are able to find, obviously, more of these churches and then run into, because when the Knights Templar was basically, you know, gotten rid of that Friday on a Friday the 13th, which is why it's considered unlucky to this day, supposedly a group of them took a lot of treasure with them. So it would make sense that they would probably use stuff like this to move it from one place to another. And so it'd be interesting to see if it just didn't end up in one of these.
Yeah, somewhere, yeah. Yeah, so it's pretty cool. They talk about, in this little article, they talk about how there's a lot of them are stunningly well preserved, being 700 years old.
Yeah,
because a lot of these are younger than a lot of the actual temples,
mm-hmm.
because this is after they started getting persecuted and had to move shit around.
Literally moved underground
on the run.
Yep. But it's in 2012. Some of the early caves were closed because people were desecrating with graffiti and dumping trash down and stuff like that. But they actually let some researchers with special permits go into them and explore them, mm-hmm. and that's when they started finding out that they're lining up. And this newest one that was discovered last year was the biggest one, one of the biggest ones they found, and is in that same path.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're going to be able to use that to extrapolate the distance from each one and maybe find locations further out to see how far it goes.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty crazy. So that farmer is probably going to get some money.
Maybe, unless the government just takes it historical site or something.
Eminent domain.
Not really sure how that works out. So, yeah.
Well, I don't know if that would fall under eminent domain. It just ends up being, you know, government property just seized.
Could be. I mean, I don't know how their law lands work over there versus over here.
True.
I don't even know how they work over here. So, if you were to suddenly dig in my backyard and find like a bunch of, you know, Indian stuff, or Native American stuff, because that's what you would have here.
Yep.
You know, would that in be dinosaur something bones. That could? Yeah.
You could lay claim to
you
it.
You lay claim to it because you own the property, but, just like people who mine.
But the thing is, with that is you don't fully own that land yet. Because you pay on it.
Right.
So whoever holds your mortgage...
Could also lay claim.
Could lay claim. And people who are selling you the land that you haven't fully paid for yet could actually seize it as well.
So that'd be awful.
Yes.
Wow.
So what you just had is now a third of what you just had.
Or not at all, because they could literally take everything.
Wow, that'd be awful.
They could literally call... They can literally put in eminent domain and be like, nope, you're ours. It's ours.
Get wow. out.
I'm no lawyer, but I feel like that would not legally fly, only because you're paying and have paid off a portion of the property.
True, but by then they'd already have all that, you know, your house essentially be demolished, it'd be dug up, and they'd be like, oh, we can work on it until then. You'd have to go to court and be like...
I mean, it would all go to court. It would be ultimately held in proxy.
Yeah.
Or whatever they call it.
He would have to go to court to get them to stop any action on the land before... It was all settled, and that would be a whole pain in the dick and stuff like that.
Lesson of the story? Buy your fucking shit outright.
Don't start digging until it's all yours.
Indiana Jones 6, he goes to court.
Hey, come here. So, yeah, that's my science story.
Yeah.
So, if you've never been to I Fucking Love Science, they have a bunch of different categories. There's everything from environmental to technological to spaceological. I made that word up. That's not a real thing.
Yeah, that's not
a real thing. Health and medicine. There's the brain. There's plants and animals, physics, chemistry, and, of course, the editor's blog, which is where most of the stories come from, that lead you to other sections of the website. So it's pretty dope.
Cool.
Booyah! And they sell weird science stuff in their store.
Weird science stuff, or just
like they sell like science
that
jewelry.
You think is weird.
Like jewelry is chemically made. It's really weird.
Most
stuff.
Jewelry is chemically made.
No, like the piece instead of being like natural stones, they're like chemical stones that make them look funny colors and stuff like that,
right.
And different shapes.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, it's different that sort of stuff. You can go there and get some shit.
Free plug.
Boom, yeah, free plug. We didn't get paid by that shit. I just think it's a cool website. It's the name's hilarious because it's I Fucking Love Science. I mean, it's could be easily called I Love Science.
No.
Throw the profanity in there. It makes me happy every time.
If you add fucking before something, that just became like 100 billion times more.
Yeah, it is, so, for sure.
I mean,
credibility just shot through the roof.
Absolutely.
I fucking love waffles. That dude loves waffles versus I love waffles.
Yeah, he likes waffles.
He could give or take them, doesn't matter. Now, if he would have said fucking, I'd be like, whoa, that dude loves fucking waffles.
There's no doubt about it. When you put fucking, I mean, that just takes any doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yep, right out of it.
Right out of it.
People are like, oh, you like playing the Division? I fucking love playing the Division. Oh, that dude loves playing the Division. I
really, actually do.
Yep.
Fucking love it.
Yeah. So.
So.
Got some movie stuff to talk about.
We did go to some movies this week.
We did.
Some.
We saw one last Wednesday after recording that we didn't get to talk about because it was after recording. And then this weekend's big movie. We'll start. Did you see Get Out?
No.
Okay.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. We'll start with that one because only two of us in the room have seen the movie. We will.
Are we going to spoil this?
We will spoil it. Yeah, no, yeah, no. I'm going to go ahead and spoil it. We've given you plenty of time, and we didn't even see it. We saw it the week after it came out. So,
yeah.
The Wednesday after it came out.
Nobody gives a shit about Taj.
You were in a different fucking state.
I'm pretty sure that Cody invited you to go see that. Because he kept saying, hey, when you're going to be in town. Even
because I kept
you
forgetting
kept...
you were in town that Friday, Friday before.
Fucking idiot.
No, not because I don't pay attention
that too.
To most anything.
That, especially that I say.
Even the stuff I say, obviously, because I didn't remember
go
the
hang
article
out?
I read earlier.
I'm still in,
still
home in Orlando.
I was confused because I could have swore it was supposed to be the Friday before,
I still love, like, 2 days
it's
later.
It's still a Friday before my birthday.
No, no, I was thinking it was the Friday before Logan.
Oh.
Because I remember you saying you were going to Vegas.
Yeah.
So I assumed you meant that Friday would be in town and then go through for your birthday, and then you would leave after birthday.
No.
Not coming to town 2 days before. I'm just saying.
Sounds
amazing.
Would have been amazing. But then I love the, hey, you going to make it to Wings? You're like, no.
No.
No?
And then I forgot he said it was that Friday. I was like, no, he told me that was that Friday.
Yeah,
he did.
I was like, deja vu. Cause
I was like, no, he said it was Friday. And then I'm like, oh, no, it's still not that Friday.
No, it's still not.
Like, I remember a Friday
Cody
passing.
Cody just missed you so much.
That is not true.
That is probably not true.
No. It's fucking not true.
Also, that means it's not true at all.
That means it's really not true.
Shit. Yeah. To be honest, though, I literally forgot what day it was.
That's what happens when you drink.
I fucking wish I was drinking.
Iced tea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I've been doing some stuff. So, you know.
All right. Get out.
Get out.
Get out.
Oh.
The movie.
So if you guys don't know what this movie is, it was written and directed by Jordan Peele of Key and Peele fame from the...
Smart motherfucker.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Fucking, this guy's a goddamn genius. First off, if you ever watched Key and Peele... people say, oh, it's a Dave Chappelle ripoff. Truly not.
No.
It is way far beyond what Dave Chappelle was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. I love Dave Chappelle. I love the Dave Chappelle show. I loved that show so much. I hated the third season because it was all fucking just him trying to get out of it. And then, of course, obviously we lost it because he decided to go to fucking Africa and
he got out of it.
Sweet smoke weed and not pay taxes and shit with fucking Wesley Snipes.
I'm not mad at him.
I mean, I don't fucking blame either. He got a shit ton of money. Better than blowing on Coke. You know what I mean?
A cola.
Yeah, for sure.
That, yeah.
Anyways, Jordan Peele. Key and Peele made a movie together.
Keanu.
Called Keanu, which was amazing.
About a little cat.
Little cat. Then they, after their show wrapped up, unfortunately, they decided to make some other stuff.
They starred in some other movies, not together.
Michael Keegan-Key has been in so many things. It's ridiculous.
And he's going to be in the next Predator movie.
He will be in the next Predator movie.
Which is so weird.
Yeah, he'll be in The Predator.
Is he going to die?
I hope not.
I hope he's not the first one, because that's a super racist.
Right?
Yeah, I know. That's true.
Just hope not.
Then... Jordan, who has written a lot of stuff, been on various TV shows as guest spots, decided to write a movie. Yep. And you would think his pedigree would be comedy.
Right.
Now, this movie does have some humor in it.
Oh, yeah, it does.
But it is a fucked up horror movie.
Yep.
Suspense horror, not like gore horror.
A thriller.
No.
There's really, there's very little gore. I mean, there's blood, but there's nothing like crazy. He's not fucking like pulling people's intestines and stuff out and wrapping around their throats and choking them to death with it, which would have been allowed.
Which is in another movie.
It is another movie. Awesome. So the premise of this is this guy who's dating this girl. So the gentleman is black, girlfriend is white. She decides she's going to bring him home to visit her parents. Of course, he is nervous about meeting her parents for the first time because she's white, he's black. You know how that goes. So already there, they're establishing like a racist thing.
Just a race thing, not racist.
Just race. A race thing.
Well, race thing, yeah. I'm saying a racist tone in the movie. Like her parents are, you know, going to be racist towards him, blah, blah, blah.
Especially the way they already explained the parents are, you know, they're from not from the South, but they're in a southern area. Like they live in New York.
Mm-hmm. And they drive south.
And they have to drive south to go down. And the fact that she has never told her parents that he's black. So that's where you're starting off. And even he's like, well, that's, you know, you don't want to surprise them because, you know, in his mind, and the way I looked at it, it's a very interesting perspective that I obviously have never and will ever see.
Are you saying you're never going to date a black man? You lying motherfucker.
No, I mean from a black guy's point of view, because there's a lot of instances in this movie where they hit that deer.
Yep.
And they're talking to the cop, and even though the black guy wasn't driving, the officer still asks for his ID, and it didn't make any sense to the white, you know, his white girlfriend, so she starts arguing with him, and he's like, you know, the black boyfriend's just like, no, it's okay, like he's in his mind, he already accepts how it is, and he just wants to go along with it just because it just
to move away from it.
Just to move away from it.
Get through it and move on.
Yeah. But she seems to make a much bigger deal about it.
Which tends to happen generally.
Yeah. So there's a lot of that stuff within the movie, but then as you get, I'll let Cody finish in a second here, but as you get further into it, no, because Cody is really good at retelling the story as it is. As you get
attention,
just trying to get attention, lick the microphone. But it does play upon the like super racist but super funny aspects when you get to the. You find out that there's like a quote unquote reunion type thing going on, and a lot of the older people there are talking to her boyfriend, the black guy. I can't remember his name.
Michael?
Was it Michael?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're like talking to him and like, oh, look how like, you know, big and strong. You play basketball.
Like
you have you black. I've always said black people have really good genes for athletics, and you're just like, what
the fuck? Overtly racist.
Yeah. Like, you're like, holy shit! Like this is uncomfortably racist.
Yeah,
and not in a way like demeaning to him.
Yeah, just
but like
racist statements, just stupid shit.
Saying shit that just shouldn't be said to someone of a different race than you.
Yeah.
So that goes on. So when they first show up, if there's an uncomfortable moment where like he sees they have a black groundskeeper, and she's like, no, he's been with us for, you know, for a long time.
Yeah.
And in my head, I was like, man, they could have cast it better because that dude's kind of young. Like that dude's younger than expected than someone who's been here for a long time.
A long time, yeah. Even the maid, which you were introduced to a few scenes later, same thing. Oh no, like we hired them to help take care of our grandma when she was getting ill, and we loved them so much that we just kept them on. You know,
so
we
was there intent there behind that? Well, youthfulness.
Yeah, I'll get there.
Yeah, there is. But it's funny because when you're first introduced to the groundskeeper, like he's your stereotypical like. He's just staring at you, and you're like, okay, that's kind of creepy, you know? Anyway, continue.
And so it goes on, and like he feels uncomfortable because like the guy's like staring at him. He's like, fuck, like Jesus. Like, all right. So then he meets the housekeeper lady who is black, and she's very like off to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's very, I want to say well-mannered, but like shy in a way. And like so he's like, this is super like it's super fucking awkward, like it's just weird. So it pushes that balance of like are they racist, you know, are they like, is it slavery?
The
like,
look
not
of her is very old-fashioned as well. Yeah, when you're in this day and age Because even the groundskeeper didn't look, you know, he had overalls and stuff on, yeah. but he looked more modern than she did. Like when you think of a housemaid from the 1950s, that's literally like the haircut and the dress is what she was wearing. So it was very odd visually, and then her mannerisms were very odd as well.
Yeah. And so you can go through this, like, as the viewer, you're like, wow, this is like, they're really playing up, like,
all the stereotypes.
Like, mm. are they or aren't they racist, you know, in a way? Like, they don't, they only have, like, you only see the two, those two people being, like, being house workers and, like, groundskeepers and stuff, and no one else. It's just, nope. I was like, all right, well, that's a little bit weird. Like, come on now. And so it goes through, and then, like, one of the key appointments when they're driving up there is he wants to smoke a cigarette and she won't let him because she wants him to stop smoking. That plays into the fact that during dinner he finds out, well, first off, he meets her super strange brother.
Oh, God, he was creepy as all
who just made my skin crawl the entire time. First off, he looks like a methy.
Yeah. Yep.
Hair's real gross. He's got a fucking wispy fucking mustache. Just real wiry. Real jittery.
Mm-hmm.
Ask him if he knows what MMA is, and he's like, well, I'm not really like into that, you know, the UFC stuff. He's like, oh, it's beyond UFC, like all this, you know, stuff. And like he tries to like
at the wrestle dinner table
wrestle with him at dinner, and his mom and dad are like, Jesus Christ, and his sister's like, calm down, you know what I mean? So eventually he gets up and he's like, damn near puts him in a full Nelson,
mm-hmm.
like in a headlock. And like trying to get him to, and he's like, they're like, no, he's like, no, I'm cool, like, we're good. He's like, whatever. And I was like, well, it's fucking weird. Like, this kid is super drugged out. And he's like, sort of in med school, but like, wants to follow in the dad's footsteps, which
yeah.
plays in later. And then so you're like, wow, it's super fucking crazy. And then the next day is when all the old white people start showing up, and it's like a family reunion, but like.
They're not family.
The feeling they're not family. They're just like family friends.
Yeah.
So it's super weird because like Joe was saying, they keep asking random questions. Like one lady like gropes his arm, like, oh, so muscular. Like I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, Jesus Christ. So then, the night before, her mom, who's a psychiatrist.
Yeah, psychiatrist.
Psychotherapist.
Something like
psychotherapist.
That.
Psychotherapist.
Yeah.
Hypnotizes him to quit smoking, but does it in a tricky way. Like, he doesn't want to do it. Because basically, what leads to it is he wakes up in the middle of the night, that thing where you don't really sleep well in a strange bed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Especially strange people around.
Yeah, this strange people. So he sneaks out quietly, just go smoke a cigarette. Well, he sees the
groundskeeper.
Legit. Jump scare that they give you at this point.
Oh, yeah,
besides
that's right.
The deer.
Yeah, no.
He's slowly creeping through the house. And he's making his way to the back door to go out to the back and smoke a cigarette. While as he's walking, you hear a noise and like he kind of like looks, but he doesn't. And then he walks past and you see the maid walk real past, like right past the hallway. You're like, fuck, like legit, like damn near jumped out of my chair.
Yep.
Like it was so good of a timing because it didn't swell with music. It was just like real, real tone, like real low. And then like it's so nonchalant because they're directing you to look like shit's going to happen over here. And then it cuts to him and like he walks and she walks by and I was like, fuck you. Ugh. Like, ugh. Because it's building up. Like this point is like so tense. Like something's going to happen. She walks by. Like, okay, definitely something's going to happen. So he makes his way outside and he's getting ready to light up a cigarette. And he sees something, and he's like, "What? I don't know what the hell that was." And turns back to the house, and then there's the maid. What looks like she's staring at him, and she starts to adjust like her outfit and stuff. And you realize she's looking at her reflection in the window and can't see him. He's like, "Oh Jesus!" Like he's staring right at her. He's like, "This is fucking weird." Then he hears a noise again, and he turns. And coming right at him is the groundskeeper just running full speed right at him. You're like, well, this took a fucking turn.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, he's about to get attacked by this fucking groundskeeper. So he's barreling at him. And then, like, he steps right out of the way and you just right past him. Just fucking Jesse Owens just whoosh right past him. I was like, fuck. Really? Because mm-hmm. he's, like, running, like, full out.
Yeah.
Again, it's just funny because Jesse Owens is black.
Well, that's why I said it, because that's exactly how he was looking. Like, dead-eyed, you know, straight, just...
But just charging through,
like hands flat, you know, like just
Terminator style.
Terminator style, just brrr, right through him, right? And he's like, Jesus. So he goes inside, and that's when he gets startled again. Not a jump scare, by his girlfriend's mom, who then brings him into her study and hypnotizes him. And that part was fucking terrifying.
Yeah. Because
he tells a story. So he is an orphan. His dad left when he was young. His mom died when he was young. And he doesn't like to talk about it. Well, she gets him to talk about it. And she breaks him. So he sits there and he's crying. And as she's doing this, she's hypnotizing him and he doesn't realize it. Then she tells him just fall back. And like the cool effect is you start to see like almost like a TV screen pull away. And it's her. And it's like starry. And he's falling down. But it's no noise. He's kind of ish, slow motion-ish in a way. And you realize like he's falling into the trance. And then like... he wakes up in his bed, all like fucking sweaty, and he's like, Jesus fucking Christ, what the hell happened? It turns out she hypnotized him to quit smoking. Well, then that's when they get into the family reunion thing, and he's already creeped out, and he's got his camera, he's a photographer, and he's taking pictures, and he sees why is it being inappropriately asked questions and groped by these white people. He sees the maid in the upstairs room, looking in a mirror, and she is adjusting like her wig, and you can see something's wrong with like her head.
Mm-hmm.
And then she turns and sees him like looking, and he tries to like act like he's not looking. Oh, I'm looking over here with my camera, you know, trying to act like, because he's like zoomed in on her with his camera.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what the fuck is that about? Like, you know, black women have the hats they wear, and underneath is like a stocking, you know? You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about.
The hats they wear?
Yeah, the wigs. It's fine. So you obviously you think that's what it is.
About. Oh, I do.
You do, yeah. Know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Yeah. Don't make
it. But like it's creepy, but at the same time, you're like, am I?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
I'm the asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Asshole.
Yeah, that's anyway. What I'm saying.
Or you're the asshole.
No, you're the asshole.
It's not me.
Anyways. Because, again, they're playing off these stereotypes in a way where right. You're like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. Well, this is obviously. So you're like, okay, obviously sadly, she's yeah. Trying to hide the fact that she's wearing a wig, right? Mm. Especially with a photo of, you know, guy pointing a camera at her.
Yeah.
So he's creeped out about that. And it just, like, the whole, like, super creepiness goes on. And then he sees another black guy. And he's like, oh, okay, well, that's, I'm going to go introduce myself. So he introduces himself, and it's a younger black guy, but dressed like a southern, like a white male from the south.
Like he's straw got like the, hat.
The really rounded, you know, flat top, straw hat, jacket with a vest and, you know, everything, right? And prime, like just Alfred, you know, day after church type thing, you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's acting all prim and proper and white. Doesn't talk with...
It's super weird.
It's super bizarre. Like he's like...
And at this point, I caught something first before Cody did.
Yeah.
So they had like a backward shot of.
So it was
he's
walking from behind.
And you see a number like a Roman numeral number 3 tattoo right on this dude's the back of the dude's ear right behind it. And I catch a glimpse of his sleeve comes up and you see a tattooed on his arm. And I'm like, yeah. I'm thinking to myself because I wish I could just, you know, sometimes talk in the middle of the theater to Cody. It's just like. That's fucking weird for the way this guy's acting. The way he's dressed, he would not have these tattoos.
But the way he carries himself,
the way
like
he carries himself,
you know,
he wouldn't have everything. Tattoos, yeah. Yeah.
So, and he's like, "Oh, it's good to see another, you know, another brother." And he's like, "Yeah, like, I guess you would feel better with me here." And I was like, "Jesus Christ, this is fucking
weird,
eerie. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?" So. Then this old white lady comes over and, like, literally gets on his arm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, on the other black guy's arm. And, like, you're like, oh, shit.
They're a thing.
Oh, what's wrong with you, dude? Like, gross. Money couldn't be worth that. There's mm-hmm. no way.
That bad?
Oh, she's, that like, bad. I'm talking, like, not, like, ancient, but, like, not good old. Like,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Good old, you know what I mean? Right. So you're like, well, this is fucked up. And then so he goes inside, and he's like, he calls his buddy. He's like, I recognize this guy. So he's like, I'm going to grab my phone. I'm going to take a picture. I'm going to send it to you. Well, he's trying to sneak a picture and accidentally leaves the sound on and the flash. So you hear the shutter and the flash hits it. And then all of a sudden, this dude has, like, a fucking seizure. Like, freak out. And just starts attacking him.
Telling him to get out.
Like, get out. He's like, get out.
Get out.
And,
get
like, out. Blood starts running from this dude's nose. Like, you're like, holy shit. And then so they drag him off. And then later, like, cuts to later in the night. A lot of people have left. Not everybody. Some people have left. The area, not the thing we're in. The time, like, they're just left the area. And he comes out of the mom's office all back to normal. Just prim and proper.
Yeah, I just had,
you know,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. And
her dad takes a look at him, says he just has a seizure.
Yeah.
And
the flash caused it.
Yeah, the flash caused it, but he's, like, just completely back to quote-unquote normal.
Yeah.
All of a sudden after talking to the mom for a little bit, and it's, like, super, super fucking weird. Continue.
So then you're, like, right then and there, you're like, all right, something's fucking going on, because obviously she's doing something to this guy to make him act like the way he is. So I didn't catch it at first, and I don't know if Joe did, but the way this movie starts is this black guy gets abducted. I waited to tell this part so this would make sense.
Yeah.
Gets abducted by a guy in a hood driving a car while he's in the middle of this suburban neighborhood at night. Like, very ritzy suburban area. When he sends the photo of this guy to his buddy back home in New York, who works at TSA, is one of my favorite characters ever.
By the way, yeah, his character is what makes this movie so fucking hilarious.
Yeah. The buddy.
The buddy.
Yeah, because he's so ridiculous.
So ridiculous, so over the top.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And not like a over the top black stereotype, just over the top and just in general way. Like, he's a TSA agent and he thinks he's, like, better than the cops because they fight terrorists.
That's literally, like, he made that point multiple times.
Yeah. Fucking hilarious. So he sends this picture and goes, oh, that's Darnell. And he goes, what? He's like, you know, dated so-and-so. And he's like, fuck, I knew I recognized that guy. He's like, but why the fuck is he wearing that? And he goes, you have no idea, bro. He's, like, completely different. So you're like, just realized who that fucking was.
Yeah.
That's that motherfucker who got kidnapped.
Yeah.
And he goes, maybe they brainwashed him and he's a fucking sex slave. And he goes, you said the mom hypnotized you. Just quit smoking, right? Oh, they gonna fuck you. And he's like,
you're gonna become one of those sex slaves.
He's like, no, no, that's not. I mean, yeah, she made me stop smoking, but there's no way. And he's like, mark my words.
Sex slave.
Phone call drops because the phone's not charged. Convenient.
Very.
So he decides, like, he's like, I'm not feeling good. I got punched by a fucking crazy black person. I'm going to go to bed. Cuts to outside, and all the white people are sitting in lawn chairs in front of a gazebo. And you're like, well, this is odd, but not too odd, I guess. And you hear the dad speaking, but you don't see him yet. Mm-hmm. And the camera slowly pans to him, and it's on, like, very close up, and he starts to slowly back out. Then all of a sudden, there's a big, giant picture of Michael, the black boyfriend, right next to him. And he goes, "And what will we start the bids at?" And I was like, is this a surviving the game thing? Is this, like, are they selling a sex slave now? Like, what the fuck's happening?
But it turns into a legitimate auction with people just, like, holding up the cards.
Yep, holding up the cards or, like, nodding, like, all these things. And you're like, holy shit. And eventually, I can't think of a guy's name, but he's from Office Space. Plays Milt. You know, Mike Stabler. Have you seen the guy?
Right. Yeah.
Steven something.
I don't remember his name
Lang?
Either. But
Steven Lang.
Steven Lang, maybe? Yeah,
Steven
I
Lang.
Don't know.
Camera raise. So he's a blind art critic. Hilarious.
Right.
Art dealer.
Which
is
what they actually mentioned in this.
Yep. They mentioned. It's like, the irony is not lost on me.
Yeah.
That I'm a blind art dealer. But I wasn't blind from birth. But Michael knows who he is, and he knows who Michael is. Because Michael's a photographer and apparently an upcoming, well-known one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, I kind of wish I had young eyes like yours. And I was like, oh, he's going
to... This was earlier during
the
earlier party.
During the party.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, and he's betting on him. You're like, oh, this motherfucker is going to not only make him a sex slave, But he's going to take pictures for him and probably, like, sell them off as his own.
Yeah.
They're like, fuck, this is crazy. Then I was like, is it a surviving the game type thing where, like, they're going to hunt him? Because there's a lot of, dead animal heads throughout the house. I'm like...
The fucking deer that you end up with that later in the movie. Yeah.
And I was like, I don't feel okay right now with what's happening.
No.
So I was like, all right, well, you know, so Stephen Lang's character wins the auction. You're like, well, this is just fucking weird. And they say, we're going to prep him. I was like, what now?
Well, you flash over to Michael and the girlfriend.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So they're actually by the lakeside at this point in the movie. And he's like, look, this is fucking weird. I need to get out of here. I am uncomfortable. Yeah. I need to get out of here, whether you come with me or not. So they have that whole relationship point where it's like she has to make a decision. And for me, in typical movies, it would have been him like, you know, oh, I'm going to stay here for you. But no, she eventually is just like, okay, let's go.
Yeah, let's
go. So while this auction is happening, sunset's happening. The auction ends, and they're upstairs packing all their stuff as fast as they can.
And all the old white people are leaving in cars.
All the old white people are leaving.
Because day one's come to an end.
Yeah, so by this time, everybody leaves. They walk downstairs, and if you want to continue.
This is where the movie literally takes a fucking left turn. Because this is the part where, like, oh, shit's going to happen, right? Well, before... She's like, I have to go. I can't find my keys. I think I know where they're at. So she leaves the room. Earlier in the movie, there's this little door that's open. Like, when I say little door, it's like three fucking feet tall, you know?
Like the under the stairs type door.
Closet
like
door, right?
From the, the Paranormal Activity little door type thing. Yeah.
So he sees it once before and he's like looking at it and then doesn't do anything about it. This time he sees, he's like, no, I'm going to go look. We're leaving right now. We're leaving. I have to look in this fucking little door, right?
Horrible idea, by the way.
Thank you very much. And this is the part where I wanted to yell out, don't fucking go in there. But I didn't.
But in this case, it actually works out for
him. Yes. So he goes and he clicks on the light, and then he sees this box, right? So he opens it up. Earlier in the movie, they established that he's the first black guy she's ever been with.
She specifically
states that. Like, this is it. He opens this fucking box full of photos of her and other black guys. Like they are like doing couple photos, you know, like, selfie here, like that sort of stuff, like romantic selfie pictures together.
Right.
At least 12 of them.
No.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, what now? Well, that's fucking weird. So she comes in, he pushes everything back in there. And she goes, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I was looking for my camera. I thought maybe it was in here. And she goes, oh, it's right here. He's like, oh, okay. So he's at this point, you can see him as like, the fuck do I do? Like, we're getting out of here. Like, it's fine. I'll deal with it.
Do I just steal her car?
Yeah, like...
Yeah.
Well, at this point, he's still like, keys. Yeah. Where are the keys?
Yeah, and she's like, I'll find him. He's like, let's just go. He's like, so they're going downstairs, and he's getting frustrated at her. She's getting frustrated with him because she can't find the keys. He's getting angry, and then her parents try to stop him from leaving. He's like, no, like, my dog is... She says his dog is sick. He has to go home. You know, what a thing. And so they're like, oh... And, like, you're like, shit's about to, like, something's going to happen right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so he starts fucking crying and, like, yelling at her. And she's crying. And she's digging through her purse. She can't find it. And eventually the brother comes in and he's, like, has what's the thing Archer likes to play? The net. It's a stick with a little net on it. It's not lacrosse. Is it lacrosse? Right? Yeah. Oh, it's the other one's at the horn. Yeah. The lacrosse thing.
The horn. I did not hear that N either. There was no N on that.
It shouldn't be. and takes a swing at Michael with it.
Oh.
You're like, fuck you. And he's like, they wrestle with it a little bit, right? And then he's like, pushes him off. And like, you're like, holy shit. Like, this dude's fucking lost his mind. And he's yelling at her. And she goes, oh, they're right here. Just completely calm. And he goes, fuck.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, you hear the mom ting her spoon on the cup, and that's the trigger. Uh-huh. He just collapses.
Just hypnotized. Done.
Yep. He has another dream, a fucking vivid fucking, you know, down in the fucking, you
falling
know,
into falling the into the background, fell.
Sees them, then it goes black. He wakes up tied to a chair. And, like, so when he passes out, you as he's passing out, you hear her say, you grab his legs, you grab his arms, watch his head as we bring him down in the basement. And she's like, unlock the basement. You're like, earlier they said the basement's locked. We can't go there. There's black mold. Hilarious now that I think about it. Black mold. And you're like, oh, so that's where they train the sex slaves.
Yeah. Mm.
This fool about to get full on
sex slaves.
Like, he's going to, like, Zed's going to be out there. You know what I mean? And I was like, well, this is going to get super, really uncomfortable now. I thought it was bad before.
For who? For you or for him?
Yes.
Yes.
Literally.
So you're like, okay. So he wakes up in this, like, 1960s, probably, like, room, like,
yeah, like
gross shag carpet, wood paneled walls,
TV that's just barely color TV.
Yeah, like big console with the cabinet, you know, thing with the click dial. You're like, where the fuck is this guy at? And he's like looking around, and there's like a pool table, and you're like, what now?
Fucking deer head hanging over the TV.
You're like, what the fuck is happening? TV clicks on. It's a fucking, like, almost like an infomercial. And it's the dad's father now talking, right? And he's telling him about this. I can't remember what it's called.
I can't remember either.
You're like, oh, shit. This is not just a sex slave thing. This is like an old-timey, been doing it for a long time, cult type thing. I was like, well, this is fucked up.
Because he goes into talking about how they've perfected this thing for over generations.
Yep.
The hypnotism, and then because they don't quite necessarily explain exactly what the procedure is, but they're saying, hey, you know, and I hope, you know, by the end of this, you could be part of our family. And it literally is the dad, but younger, the mom, and then the two kids, but obviously they're younger at this point.
And so you're like, oh, fuck, they're not going to just brainwash him to be a sex slave. They're going to sell him to that old white man.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be a thing like that old white lady was with Darnell. I was like, this is some fucked up shit. Like, now he's going to be a sex slave, but he's going to be a gay sex slave. Jesus Christ, you got the fucking wrong end of this deal. At least that Darnell's fucking a lady. Or getting fucked by a lady. I'm not too sure actually how that works out. But he's going to be fucking Stephen Lang. That's unfair. Like, it's fucked up, man. So they're like going through, and then that goes through, tells you that clicks off, and he's like, then you hear the cup on the china thing, and he's out again. Wakes up a little bit later, TV kicks on again, and this time it's Stephen Lang, and he looks like he's sitting down, and his head's been shaved, and you're like, what the fuck is happening here? He tells you what's going on right then and there. What's going to happen is they're going to implant Stephen Lang's brain inside Michael's. So he's going to take over Michael's body, but there'll be a little bit left of Michael. That's why they had to hypnotize him. So they could, because they can't take his brain and give him all the motor functions, so they basically cut the brain up and put portions in there so he has all his memories and can tap into the motor functions when Michael's hypnotized and out in the background. So he's literally going to live in the background of this white dude living in his body, like he was when she puts him under the entire time.
And that's when you piece together that's what happened to Darnell.
Yep.
Right.
And they're like, fuck you, that's crazy. And then he's like, I gotta get the fuck out of here, right? So he finds a way to basically break free in a way, right? Like, enough, like, you think you're like, oh shit, but then the sun comes in, and right before he comes in, he gets knocked out again. The china noise comes in, he passes out. So sun comes in, now you see from that point of view, and he's unstrapping him, and all of a sudden he gets hit in the head. You're like, what the fuck? Michael had ripped off the top of the armrest and shoved cotton in his ears.
Uh-huh.
So he didn't pass out. He just faked it. And then so he bashes, like, he takes this a pool ball and just fucking knocks his fucking head in, and he's sitting there, blood's running out. Michael's like, I'm out. So you see inside the operating room, there's two beds, Stephen Lang's in one, and the dad is literally cutting his head open. Oh. And, like, saws his fucking skull open, and he's like, where the fuck is Jimmy? Like, why the fuck is he taking so long? So he walks to the door, and he's like, looks down, and the fucking basement's all, like, one half is all medical, the other half's, like, wood paneling and these fucking weird art statues and all this shit. You're like, fuck, you guys are weird.
Yeah.
And so he turns, he's like, Jimmy, come on, we're ready to go. And as he turns and he looks back, he hears something, and there's Michael running with the deer head and just fucking impales him. Right, like, one goes in his fucking mouth, like, through his throat, like, one's in his chest. Like, he's like, and he's not dying right away, he's like choking on his own blood and the antler, and slumps down, and he's like, looks inside, and he's like, fuck it. And when he did that, he knocked something over that started a fire. So fire is now, like, burning through this thing. And he's, like, walking out. He goes up the stairs, and he's in there. And then the mom tries to stop him, and he knocks over the china. Like, he scares her, and she knocks over the china, and they both look at it. And he runs over, and he's fucking just... What did he stab her with? He picked something up and stabbed her with it.
Was it the... letter opener?
Letter opener, that's what it was. Yeah, yeah. Letter opener. Just fucking just... Bleh! Like, I think it was like her eye or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just...
It was brutal.
Yeah, because, like, first, like, he's gonna get stabbed, and he, like, he reverses and just fucking just... Gah! Right in her fucking face, and I was like, get her!
Mm-hmm.
Get her! Like, just... Oh, yeah. And so he's getting her to go, and it cuts upstairs, and smoke is filling the house, and there's the daughter now sitting on her bed, and all the pictures he found are now... on the wall in frames behind her.
Yep.
And she's sitting with headphones in on her computer. And they're like,
if I recall right, she was looking for her next victim.
Like, she's looking, I was like, this fucking bitch is crazy.
Yeah, she got an eye too.
Yeah. So she, like, she comes up like, oh, she heard something. She's like, goes back to it. Then he's getting ready to leave, and the brother shows back up, and he's got blood all over, and he's like, and then he basically struggle, and he fucking just beats the brains out of this guy, literally. Just blood splatter all over him. He looks like a fucking nightmare now. He's got snot running down. He's got at least three people's blood splattered on him. Mm-hmm. Not his own. Tears. Shirt's just a mess. Like, the shirt's never going to be good again. And he's like...
Throw it in the house, let it burn down.
Yeah. He's like, fuck it. So... And that's when the...
The maid.
Maid, right?
Yeah.
Attacks him. This is outside. He gets in the car, one of the son's car, is driving, and she gets in front of him, and he accidentally hits her. And it goes back to his memory of when his mom died, because she was hit by a hit and run. Mm-hmm. So he goes, oh, fuck. So he gets out, picks her unconscious body up, puts her inside, starts to drive away, and a gunshot hits the fucking window or the mirror.
Yeah.
And he's like, he looks back in the rearview mirror, and there's the daughter, his girlfriend, on the porch with a fucking rifle. She, the fucking maid, wakes up, starts attacking while they're driving. They slam to a tree. She fucking just on there. Her wig comes loose. Or I was going to say her hat came off, but I won't be mean again. It's from Smoking Aces. And you see there's a fucking scar going around her head. And I was like,
brain,
this bitch is one of them.
Yep.
Holy shit.
But it gets better.
Yep. Since he gets out, she's still taking shots at him. He's like, he's fucked up because he was just in a fucking car wreck,
right?
Already kind of exhausted in general, going through. And then all of a sudden you hear, get him, grandpa. And here comes the black groundskeeper, Jesse Onan, right after him.
Oh, jeez.
Tackles his ass. You're like,
grandpa?
What the fuck? And then it dawns on you, that was grandma.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was like,
oh.
Oh my God.
This family's fucked up.
And then it dawned, I was at one point, I was like, well, at least he's not they're not sex slaves.
right.
And so they're squaring off, and then, like, He they're struggling. He pulls his phone out, flashes Grandpa. He seizures out, snaps back to his real self, turns on her.
Because the daughter makes the daughter makes it to them by this point.
Yep, with the rifle.
So he gets snapped, turns around, and he's like,
says,
no,
oh, let me do it.
Let me do it.
Grabs a rifle from her.
And shoots her.
Gets ready. He's like acting like he's going to turn at Michael. You're like, oh, I don't think that fucking worked. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just... So he's, and then just goes, and gut shots fucking the girlfriend. And I was like, fuck yeah, Grandpa!
Yeah.
And then he looks back at him, and like, he's got the gun trained on Michael. I was like, oh, don't kill Michael, too? What's wrong with you? Nope. Just fucking... Him. Kirk Cobain's right there in the fucking dirt driveway. And you're like, holy shit. So he starts to get up slowly. Michael does. Makes his way over, and the girlfriend's trying to paw at the rifle, and he kicks it out of the way. He's like, no. No.
You don't get up that easy.
Gets on top of her, straddles her, and starts fucking choking the life out of her. And she just look at him and starts smiling.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, wait, this bitch is crazy.
Super crazy.
And all of a sudden... fucking headlights hit him.
Oh.
You see his headlights flood. And he's like, and he lets go. And she looks over and starts smiling again. And it's a fucking cop car.
And you're like, fuck. You're like, how does this look?
I was like, so he gets up just bloody. She's fucking half strangled. Has a gut shot. It's a dead black guy here. Yeah. Dead black guy and lady in the car. Black. House of fucking blaze in the background. He's like, fuck. Door swings open. Airport. It was his boy from the TSA.
This is fun.
Tracked him down.
Wow.
Found him.
How'd you find me? I'm the motherfucking TSA.
Gets in, goes, sex slave? He's like, I don't want to talk about it. He goes, sex slave. And then just black.
That was the movie.
Yep. Legitimately one of the best horror movies I've ever seen in my life.
It was.
It was so fantastic.
It was.
We left a lot of stuff out.
Yeah.
But God damn, it was so good. And the build up, the tension build up with the music and like the nothing happening, and then like the weird stuff happening,
and then just the cuts you would have going back to the friend as they're talking on the phone, and the friend is just making all these weird accusations. He goes to the cops at one point.
Yeah, they fucking make fun of him. Like they start to act like they're taking him seriously. She's like, hold on a second. She brings in two colleagues. He's like, all right, go ahead and explain to them. He explains again, and they just fucking bust out laughing when he brings up the whole sex slave part. Oh, dude, it's so funny.
So hilarious.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely recommend watching that one if you haven't already.
Definitely.
More so, I mean, don't let us ruin it for you, but when you watch it, you know.
Too late.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
We gave him a warning, sort of. We were going to spoil it. They could have stopped. Real quick, we'll go to Logan.
From one really good movie to another.
Yeah. So, Logan, starring Hugh Jackman in his last starring role, as we know of right now.
Hugh Jackman, still jacked, by the way.
Yeah, even old. Jack, old. Like, yeah.
He's 50, 60-something right now?
He's 50-something, yeah.
Yeah.
Jacked.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's his last appearance as Wolverine, and it's also Patrick Stewart's last
Xavier role.
Yep.
Originally, the premise we talked about on the show before, originally it was thought to be this was going to be an adaptation of Old Man Logan by Mark Miller. We said there's no fucking way they can do it because they don't own 94% of the characters they need to do that story.
Yeah.
Especially because the villain in the book is the Hulk. And,
or at the beginning.
No, the whole thing.
Well, he goes through the beginning and the end.
Yeah. I mean, the overall villain is the Hulk.
Yeah.
Hulks. Obviously they can't do that. I mean, they could probably try to work it, but there's no way in time they would be able to do it. And
it'd be really weird to put it against the Marvel's current cinematic universe as well.
Yeah.
There'd be a whole lot of confusion by the normal people as why is the Hulk suddenly a bad person? And
yeah, it would be just a fucking nightmare anyways. So they took the premise of him being older, his healing factor is not the same. Difference in the book to in the movie, something is causing his healing factor not to work anymore in the movie. In the book, it's lack of use. So lack of use is he starts to age because it's not healing him all the time. He starts to age like a normal person, but obviously drastically slower than everybody else. So he's a little run down, hasn't popped his claws in years, that sort of stuff. And this, the brilliant way I think they started it off was him waking up to the car, the jacking of the wheels.
Yeah,
which is
fucking hilarious. And then watching him try to go and like you see him pop some of his claws.
Yeah,
and one of them goes
two and a half.
Yeah,
and slowly get, and then as he's getting his ass kicked, it finally makes all the way out, and he just murders the fuck out of three dudes.
It's three or four.
It's three, I believe. So he said, right?
No, it was like four or five.
There was
quite a few of them there, and there were quite a few of them there still when he left.
But and we talked about it on here before, the rated R-ness of this movie is not just language.
Oh no,
it is sheer fucking violence. Because unlike the other movies, when he pops his claws in somebody, it's not just I'm hurt, I'm dead. Like these people, he doesn't poke them. He literally rips through them, and like guts coming out, arms coming off, legs flying loose, heads popping.
I mean, like, he put his claws through the skulls of a few people.
Glorious,
so
too.
Wonderful.
I think my favorite is still the dude in the hotel when Xavier's having his big seizure, and they're all frozen there, and he's slowly making his way through, and he gets the guy at the door, and he gets him.
Into the door. Yeah.
But then
yeah.
My favorite one is when he makes his way and there's that last guy and you can see he looks at him and he comes around from the back and hits him like not dead on, but outside. And so the claws come through his face and you see the tips of all three just like right here and he's just like, and his eye like starts to go Stuart Scott, you know? And like,
we gotta find somebody else.
Name somebody else as a goofy
I don't
eye.
Know, but we gotta find somebody else.
He's not gonna listen, so.
That's rude.
Anyway.
Anyway. I don't know anyone else with a goofy eye.
We'll figure it out.
That's a real person I can give you a thing. And so you see it, and I'm like, fuck, dude. Like, that's brutal. And one of the ones before that is literally the guy before him, when he uppercuts him, and that's the picture I posted on the site when we first got a look of it, and he gets the uppercut, and you see the top of the claws. But this one's something so more brutal about it.
It's just a weird angle.
Because, like, they come through his face, and you're like, fuck. Fuck. And then he gets like one guy in the ribs and the other guy in the chest, and they realize the guy in the ribs didn't actually die, so he's just sitting there after they get Xavier out of the little seizure, and like she kills him. But I was like, dang bro, you're in so much pain right now. Not as your brain all mushy mushy, but you have like 3 6-inch fucking knife wounds in your like vital areas, cause he went right past the vest and he's gonna die. Like there's no way that dude's getting patched up anytime soon. Because I'm sure he went in like at an off angle and like shit just got, it wasn't
some
even.
Stuff got missed, got yeah. clipped.
And yeah. stuff got, you know, there's some cuts. They're pretty deep for cuts. Sure. And of course she just fucking rips his face apart. Which by the way, this little girl
is amazing.
First movie ever. She was amazing in it.
She's a wonderful
girl. And I don't know how they did those fight scenes, because I don't think they had they pulled a Lord of the Rings and had like a small person. But if it was her doing those, she's
talented. It's very acrobatic.
Yeah,
very,
like very she's acrobatic. Jumping on people and flipping them around, fucking just full. Like, there's some of the scenes where she's doing the action of swinging the claws and like killing people because like blood splatter on, and you can see it's her, the camera's on her as she's fucking just murdering people. But she fucking nutted a guy. She stabbed a guy in the leg, so he fucking drops, and then like gets him in the face. She tears a dude's back out, like.
So when
she
it comes
decapitates
to,
the guy, which is fucking fantastic.
When it comes to the skill of fighting, she is already well into it.
Yeah.
And that storyline does get set in the movie, in the middle of the movie. So it makes sense, but fuck.
And again, so the difference between... So X-23 is not part of the book Old Man Logan. There's a different youngster in that. They did change her her origin a little for the movie from her first appearance in NXT or Next. She in the books she's a direct clone of Wolverine. In this she's a biological
birthing.
So she's his DNA implanted in with an egg, and so she's born in the belly of a Mexican girl and then trained. So she has his healing ability, which, again, let's push that science aside because that's still incorrect, because the gene that gives you your ability doesn't transfer to your kids, not directly always. We know this from other
but
people.
Yeah, science, you can activate a gene, which, I mean...
Well, yes, I'm saying in this they have the pseudoscience, they change a little bit. So she has his healing factor, And then through experimentation, gets the adamantium on her bones and the claws. Hers are a little different because you find out she has foot claw. And it's cool the way they explain that is the whole like the lioness thing, where like the front claws are for hunting and the back claws are for killing. I thought it was a really good way of explaining why she has those, and like evolution would change her, because in this universe he has bone claws from birth, so does she, and they just coat them in the adamantium to make them more, instead of being like pokers like claws would normally be and tears, they're actually knives. And when she pops that fucking first one out, drags on the ground, then kicks that fucking poor bastard in the goddamn face, I was like,
yeah.
Oh, he's not gonna be in the sequel.
No.
No, he ain't gonna make this
all.
No. They're gonna fix the back. And so like she fucking manhandles so many dudes in that just first scene that she's in the, inside the room, inside the warehouse, or whatever the fucking wall call that. Outside when they chase her, like the whole time, and of course Wolvie fucking, they're going after Charles, he pops loose. Yeah,
those guys in the warehouse.
Oh yeah,
you know. It was awesome,
dude. When she drops down on that first guy,
yeah,
and I was like, oh no, the rest of these guys are dead. Like, you should run. And she like, she does the classic Wolverine. She chops the dude's gun, and he's just like, bah! Like he's gonna be like, oh my gun, and then all of a sudden he gets murdered. Face is torn loose, guts is spilling out. The story is actually really good.
Very good.
I really like the way they did it because, again, they couldn't do what the book did. But they did have one big element is the fact that the reason there's no other mutants is they're twofold in this. They're being hunted down by a corporation and eliminated for their DNA.
Basically, they get their DNA, yeah.
So you can make weapons out of their offspring. And then Charles has a wee bit of an episode. That injures 600 people and kills, I think they said 13 or 17 mutants at the Westchester House, which is the Xavier Mansion. In the book, spoiler alert, Logan actually kills all the X-Men because his brain's being all fucked up by Mysterio. So he sees them as the Brotherhood of Mutants attacking the house. He goes full on berserk, murders all what he thinks is the Brotherhood of Mutants. Then they lift the brainwash, and he sees that he murdered all of the X-Men. And then I think it's Rogue dies in his arms in the book. I think it is. It's either Jubilee or Rogue. I can't remember what it is. So it was one of them dies while he's holding her and like obviously breaks him. That's why he gives up and becomes the farmer in the book. And this, Charles ends up killing all of them by accident. And then basically...
That basically drives him under.
Drives him away from that whole hero thing. And, you know, he tries to stop Xavier from remembering it by drugging him up, also trying to control the seizures because that shit looks super painful.
Oh, man.
In the way, if you guys remember, I believe they did it in both X-Men 1 and 2.
They did.
X-Men 1, it was at the museum where he freezes everybody, but you realize it's not like time's not frozen. He just basically stops everybody around him.
Stasis for everyone.
They do it again to get in the White House. To tell the president, you know, we're not bad, blah blah blah.
I think they did in 3 as well.
Did they?
I can't remember. The end, or the airport scene.
Airport scene was 3.
Where?
No, that's the end. That's end of the Wolverine. When Charles
you're right.
And,
yeah,
and
you're right.
Yeah, Magneto.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because at the airport they stay. Yeah, he looks around. And he's like,
yes,
fuck, and turns around. Yeah. And he says, "We can fix that. Bone claws, whatever." He like that's basically that, but he can't control it. So everybody starts basically like he basically starts crushing everybody's brains. By normally what he do is he would shut off the motor function, like so you're just like stopped, everything's like you don't remember, you don't see nothing. This people are just, literally like, confused because they can't control themselves, and of course you see the soldiers just fucking. They can like move their eyes, yeah. Like seeing Logan get ready to fucking murderize, like you know, and so that happened, killed the mutants. They went underground, being heroes. Basically, the whole thing is Logan's trying to raise money to buy a boat so they can live away from society because they're being hunted down
out
from being
the
mutants,
sea. So
that out on the sea,
seizures
so
are not,
yep, not
going
to affect anybody else. You think because he wants to be away from everybody. No, he's trying to save people from being affected by Charles' lack of ability to hold his abilities and check with these seizures. So you think it's being greedy, but then you realize it's he's actually trying to save everybody else from the weapon of mass destruction, as they say, his brain has become. One of my favorite parts of this movie, and we'll wrap it up here pretty quickly, is when Patrick Stewart's Charles Xavier drops the F-bombs.
Yeah, it's so good.
When he cusses, it's hard not to laugh.
Right.
Because we have, the three of us I know, have seen Ted 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
So we've heard Patrick Stewart say bad words. Oh, I've seen American Dad enough to know he says rotten shit. Mm-hmm. I've seen his own show where he says bad stuff. And it's fucking amazing to see Charles Xavier drop F-bombs.
Yep.
Yeah. But you're still conditioned to see Professor X as not that person.
Yeah, being
no matter what.
Prim and proper and speaking right. And then you're like, when in the bathroom of the family's house. And he's like, she's 11. I'm fucking 90. I was like, he said the F word.
Just the part where they're on the run.
Bathroom
scene again.
Yeah, that bathroom scene.
That bathroom scene Logan has to help him onto the toilet.
I can fucking do it myself. I'm not looking. But the sheer brutality of it, I won't ruin the whole movie for you. I won't tell you how it ends. But the cool thing is a lot of people are saying they're getting ready for the X-Force because X-23 at one point in her career is in the X-Force, and they're actually not. They're leading into a New Mutants setup where those other kids they meet up with who have abilities similar to their genetic donors, as you would say, they would be a new group of mutants or the New Mutants. Mm. But they're all young, so it's not like they're going out and fucking just gonna do it right then and there. They're going to Canada to a safe haven that's supposed to be there.
I'm just so dick. Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
I do love that. So can you send that to me?
I can.
Thank you. I want to post that so badly. Not on the show's page. I'll post it on my own. But one of the, I think they got sidetracked by that.
Sorry, guys, that was not me.
Yeah, no problem. So, New Mutants, blah, blah, blah. One of the cool things, facts I found out about on Twitter, if you guys haven't seen this yet. So, in the movie, it was featured legitimate X-Men comic books.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
So, they look super dope because they look like Chris Claremont art on the covers. The art on the inside is older style,
it's the very classic almost look. Silver Age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why. So those covers were drawn by Chris Claremont, which is super dope. The interiors, the one you see, drawn by Joe Quesada.
Oh.
For the movie.
Dope.
Because the cover they show has nothing to do with the interior they do, because the covers they show are real legitimate Chris Claremont books when he did them originally. The interiors were all new and all different, so that story they weren't using that from then. But in the premise of the story is, and here's a spoiler, you find out the place you're going to is fictional from the comic book.
Eden.
And they give you actual GPS locations. Yeah. And it ends up being in North Dakota on the border of Canada, but she pulled that from the comic, and it just happened to be that the comic used real GPS location for somewhere in North Dakota where this would be. But yeah, those interiors were drawn by Joan Quesada as a favor to Hugh Jackman for doing the last Wolverine movie.
Wow, that's dope.
I thought that was pretty fucking rad.
Yeah.
Because Joan Quesada doesn't do art anymore at all. Every now and then he does a cover, but not very often. But it was super fucking cool. And I guess Hugh Jackman took that from set.
Oh, why not?
So he has that book.
Hugh Jackman.
His fucking movie. So I thought that was a pretty cool tidbit in there. There's a lot of hidden Easter egg stuff, and we'll talk more about that as everyone sees it, because there's a lot of weird shit thrown in there that you may not notice. But the last thing we'll talk about, we're getting to that time, will be the teaser that's attached to the front of the movie.
Yes.
So on this very show, we talked previously that originally there was a planned Stinger scene, the end credits for Logan. That was then scrapped. So originally it was not put with, and even the one we're going to talk about was not actually on the preview screenings. So it was not shown to critics and industry people. So it originally was said that James Mangold, the director and writer, decided to put it in just for fans. But then it was said, he said, no, we don't have a stinger scene. I didn't put it in there. I didn't feel like the one we had would flow well because the movie ends the way it does, which he didn't say what it was. We all know what it is, I'm going to say. And having that would make you lead to a connection, but there isn't one. So we scrapped it. Then, come Thursday night when I went to go see it, out pops Deadpool, which previously was listed that he had, Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool filmed a scene as for Logan as a cameo. Ryan Reynolds said, no, I never filmed a cameo for Logan. That wasn't a total lie because this wasn't a cameo. This was a teaser for Deadpool 2. And so won't tell you what it is. It's online so you can watch it. I kind of hate the fact that they put it out the day the movie came out.
And I could swear that the one that Ryan Reynolds posted is longer.
Not the same one.
You sure?
Yeah.
Mm. I'll have to go back and watch it because I swore that there was an extra scene from the from when we saw it.
Shoot on the thing. Plus, I you wouldn't hear it if I did. C would absorb it. A fart. I didn't fart. It was my shoe.
Lies.
I haven't watched the one Ryan Reynolds posted because I had seen the one in the movie theater, so I didn't need to watch it. I saw it twice. I mean, we can go back and look at it.
Yeah, we'll watch it after this.
Yeah. I just thought it was genius because it was a total Deadpool thing, but like set in the Logan universe in a way.
So well done.
And the best part was like there's little things hidden inside of it, like Steve Summers coming soon.
Nathan Summers.
Or Nathan Summers coming soon on the on fucking the phone booth. The Logan fact is the
posters,
the Logan post. He was walking by a movie theater and the feet, you know, playing Logan, and then these weird little Die X-Men Die spray painted on buildings, Firefly poster up in the background in the video store, which I thought was fucking hilarious. Both the movie and the TV show posters, by the way.
Yeah.
So you have Firefly, and then you have.
Serenity
on there. I thought was really hilarious because Serenity is the one up in the main window, and then Firefly was up front. It's just little weird things like that. It's like the only reason they did that is not because they're bringing it back, which I thought was really funny. That they're like, that's how they're announcing you're bringing it back. No, it's because Fox owns it and they can do whatever they want. And Deadpool and Ryan are gonna poke fun at everything that anybody does.
And everything they can.
And one would be one of the most popular shows they ever had. They canceled midway through season one. They made a movie that showed the fact. That it was as popular as it was and did well, but then they still didn't bring anything back out of it, you know?
Left it scrapped.
And just, you know, they can use it because it's Fox and Fox owns it, so they just like, fuck it, let's put it up there. Make fun of Fox even more. So little things like that. And then, like, of course, the talk he has about the phone booth, you know, didn't think it was away in 95 or whatever it was? It was super funny. So I thought it was hilarious because then it says teaser. Deadpool. Coming soon, or not coming, or Deadpool 2 coming not soon enough. That's really funny. But yeah, so yeah. Anything else? Anybody else?
Nope, that's it.
Cool. That's it for this week's episode of Comes Naturally. We are
Joe.
Taj.
I am Cody. And as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.